We're going to look at Philippians. We're going to start in chapter 1, and we're going to work our way through. Philippians was a very important book for me in my early days of ministry. One of the things I discovered was there's so much of my thinking and my processing of different things in my life were often kind of governed by the worldly things that I had been around. And so therefore, one of the things I thought, Lord, I just really got some struggles here. My thinking is not in line with your thinking, and I'm memorizing the scriptures to help me deal with that. But then when I discover that in the book of Philippians, it tells us that I might have the very mind of Christ, I thought, well, that's a book that I've got to spend some time in. Because I'll tell you what, I don't know how it was for you all, but there were some struggles in my life, a lot of memories, things that just would haunt me that I knew that were just, you know, upset me in some ways. And I thought, Lord, I need to think the way you do. I need to love the way you do. I need to care for people the way you do. And so I saw that verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, where it says, let this mind be in you, Rick, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I said, God, I want to know that. I want that to be a part of my life. And then I saw some of the benefits in that. All right, one of the key thoughts in the book of Philippians is the word joy or rejoice. All right, it's mentioned over and over again in all four chapters. All right, and so what we see here along with that also, and that kind of ties in with my thinking here, is the word mind. In each chapter, all right, we have a description of the kind of mind Christ or Christians should have as they serve the Lord Jesus Christ, a mind that will give you peace and joy in life in the midst of adversity and troubles and trials. And as we know, that's life today. I mean, there's so many things going on in our world, and a lot of times it's difficult for us to have the joy of our salvation, to kind of remember that, although we should. Well, this book here says it's possible, but you can only have it as you have the mind of Christ, as you practice the things God said that I give you in this book. When Paul wrote this book, we know that he was in a very uncomfortable situation. And it kind of gave background to this, knowing that he was incarcerated. He was in a Roman jail, and in that jail, he was chained to a guard. So he lost a lot of his freedoms, although he was able to write this letter here. But yet he didn't have the freedoms he would normally have. He wasn't able to be out witnessing and preaching with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he tells us about this. He tells us he's in there. But he says along with this, looking at chapter 1, verse 12, he says, all right, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. God has a plan in this. I'm not just sitting here on my hands here. I see once again, God has a plan. My thinking is channeling in the right way. Verse 13, so that in my bonds in Christ are manifested in all the palace and all other places. The word of God is coming out. I've got a plan. And what he wants us to see here in chapter 1 is, first of all, that Paul had a single mind. All right. He had a mind that was concerned about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He saw every place he went and all the persecution he went through. And of course, you know, the persecution he had in Philippi was severe. He was guilty of casting a demon out of a woman that was very profitable to the folks who basically owned her as a slave. Well, he cast that demon out. She got saved, and all that ability she had to do that was no longer there. Then as a result of that, there was a tremendous economic crisis as a result, because the guys who were making money and all the folks who were making these images began to lose a lot of business that way. And so because of that, again, we see and know that Paul was thrown in jail. And then we know the story about the Philippian jail and how Paul was in there. And he had that single mind again. He was focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the mind of Christ in that situation. And so there again, he was there praising God, singing songs. And the next thing you know, there was an earthquake there. And doors were open. The chains fell off. And then that Philippian jailer came in there, wanted to know how he might be saved. So Paul was always doing that. And of course, this is all the memories he has in this church. Apparently for him, they're very fond memories. We see that in chapter 1 where he talks about them. But again, he said, what got me through these things is I had a singleness of purpose. I was there to share the glory of Christ, to tell people about Jesus Christ. We see over here looking at verses 20 and 21, All right, first of all, you see, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, and so now, also Christ may be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. In verse 21, it says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is, I think, what we have going on with our missionaries who've gone down and visiting in that island down there. They've gone down there. They're praying and asking us to pray that God will give me boldness. Help me to share that gospel. Help me not to be ashamed. Help me not to be intimidated by whatever might be going on. We know Satan will throw things at them to make them kind of feel inadequate or kind of forget what they're, you know, whatever they've memorized. But we need to pray for them. We need to pray that God gives them the boldness necessary. And they're a bold bunch of people. We all know them very much, very well. They're trained and they're well able. But also that Christ would be magnified in their bodies. And when he says that, he said, not only in the things I say, but I want the life that I'm living down here. All right, they're going to be around. They're going to be around us living here. We're going to live with them. We're going to be involved in their lives. We're going to be eating with them. And I want to magnify Christ not only in word, but also in deed. I want my body to be a testament. All right, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul wanted, and certainly that was true of him. He had many opportunities. Well, he's in jail right now. He's got men coming every day to be chained to him who he can talk to. He has a captive audience big time. And so in that, apparently it went real well because the gospel was being spread all over the place as a result. All right, but again, we see here the fact of the single mind. In verses 23 and 24, it says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And when I'm thinking about that, I know one of the things we all say today is a catchphrase for Christians. I hear it all the time. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And boy, I tell you what, the songs we sing today kind of go along with that. We're looking forward to the Lord come. The only problem is we're looking for the Lord to come to get us out of a situation God wants us to be in. He said, this world's being turned upside down. You're the one that can correct this problem. So I want you to stay here. And I thought about that myself when there was a time. Well, as I said it, I'm guilty of that myself here. But I thought, you know what, Lord, what am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to take me out of here and then pour your righteous wrath on this world. Who do I think I am? I mean, it's kind of course, you know, I know he loves me and I'm special to him, just like you are too. He loves us. He died for us. He said, and I feel that way, God. But help me to have that single mind, to realize what the purpose is and all that's going on right now, to know this world is sick and in trouble. I talk to people all the time. I talk to all kinds of people all the time. I talk to a number of homosexuals, people that are caught up in that lifestyle. They're really making their voice heard right now. They've come out of the closets, okay? Well, all right, yeah, the closet. Now let's talk. Let's find out what's going on here. And I've led a number of those folks to Christ, okay? I don't know where they're at right now. I don't know what's going on. But the interesting thing I find out as I talk to these people, and they trust Christ as Savior. So that means they come to a repentant heart. They're sorry for their sin. And it could be the sin of, I told them about the sins I repented of. Not all of them. Some of them, okay? We didn't want to get down to the nitty-gritty here. But I told him, I said, God saved me from my sins. God looks at sin the same way. The blood of Christ paid for all sins, dear friends. Know that. But an interesting thing that happened with every last one of them, as he shared with me what the Lord was doing in their heart as they came to repentance and as the Holy Spirit came to live inside of them. And he did. Was the awful memories. I can't believe the things I have done. Yep. Amen. Well, I said, you know what, brother? I can't believe the things I've done. I can't. But I'll tell you this, and I've had it with one of them I talked to. I said, but you know what, brother? I don't want to know. I don't want to have that knowledge of sin. I said, but you know what? God knows all about that. God loves you, and God will take care of you. And he will save you from that terrible sin. He'll save you from all those. And you know, we talked about this, the mind of Christ. I said, you know what? You can also have the mind of Christ. You can think the way Jesus does. You can love the way Jesus does. All right? But you've got to be willing to surrender. And for them, as I've ministered over the years, you know, I've been involved with addiction issues all the time, and this is just another one. As far as that's concerned, I said, brother, you're going to have to sell out completely and totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We got a lot of Christians out there that get saved, okay, and they're nominal, you know, might read the Bible once in a while, we go to church when we feel like it and stuff like that, you know, but it's, you know, I'm not a really bad person and da-da-da, but they do get repent and all that. Well, I'll tell you what, there's certain addictions, you can't do that. It's all or nothing. It is all or nothing. All right? You've got to be completely surrendered. You got to have that single mind that Paul is talking about here. And as I talk to folks all the time, and you do too, I'm not the only guy that's going around witnessing in this room here right now. You know, you need to pray and ask God to help you. But does he love me that? He loves you just as much as he loves me. There is no difference with God. That's how much he loves you. So you need to come to God, and you need to come in him and beg him. I said, you know what the thing is with prayer? You're not trying to persuade God to do something he doesn't want to do. He wants to do that. He's just waiting for you to ask him. Lord, sometimes when I'm praying, I am begging. I'm like, Lord, you know, and God says, I'll take care of it. But I don't mind you coming to me, Rick, and pouring your heart out and sharing your burdens with me. I like that, Rick. Another thing we see here as far as Paul and the joy he was able to have in his ministry here, even though he went through all kinds of problems, we see in chapter 2, and that's the submissive mind. All right, the mind, the humble mind that seeks to only honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Circumstances may cause us to lose our joy, but people will also. Amen to that? We got a lot of people right now that a lot of people are mad about. A lot of Christians are mad about these people. They're losing their joy over these people. Well, the only answer to that problem there is the submissive mind, the humble mind that seeks to only honor Christ and allow him to live through us and love through us and allow us to, where we pray in Jesus' name. And when you're praying in Jesus, you're praying the way Jesus would pray. For these people that you struggle with, pride is one of the is something that causes a lot of unrest and contention, and usually that is a problem. We know because we don't like the way we've been treated, we don't like the way our nation's going. You know, we think we deserve better than all this. We think this should be something's wrong here, all right? But you know what? What we deserve when it comes to this thing of humility, which we're talking about a submissive mind, a mind that's submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to remind myself occasionally, you know what, Rick? All you deserve right now and forevermore is eternity in hell. That's what you deserve. And Rick, you're not going there. You're going there because I love you. All right. And I want you to be willing to humble yourself and submit to my love, to allow me to work through you. We see over here, talking about this thing of submitting here, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Boy, I like that verse for sure. All right, who being in the form of God, thought it was not robbery to be equal with God. All right, he was God. He had all those privileges that go along with that, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Okay. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, this is a really good verse here. I mean, these verses are really good. They talk about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. The fact he was willing to limit himself, that he did not cling to his rights and all the privileges he had as the Son of God, but he was willing to give up his privileges along that line. One of the things I find so interesting about this, as I do in so many ways, as looking at the person of Christ and this idea of a submissive mind, quite often, as you know, I visit hospitals and I visit people that are in hospitals that have lost some of their mobility. They're no longer able to go around and do what they did All right, or they're in a situation where they're there right now, and all the privileges and abilities they have to get around and do different things, they've all lost all that. I have a person that I visit almost every week, and this person's been basically paralyzed for almost 6 years now. And we talk about this situation. Well, I talk because he can't talk, but he can shake his head yes and no and agree with me on what I say here. But in thinking about this, the fact that Jesus was willing to limit himself, okay? He had the submissive mind. God, I know what this is going to cost me. I know what's going to go on here, but I'm willing to submit to your will. You know, I oftentimes thought Christ went to the cross because he loved me. But the primary reason he went to the cross was because he loved the Father. It was the Father that loved me. And he was willing to come and surrender himself and be on that cross and dying for my sins. But nonetheless, we're talking about Christ. He had the submissive mind. And he makes that clear right now in what we're looking at here. Paul says the same thing. All right, so he was willing to submit. Well, this person here, and I've been around a number of them like that, where they're in a situation and they have finally gotten to the point where they're submitting to God's will for my life. I will never walk again. I will never get out of bed again. All right? I'm losing my freedoms. I'm losing all the things that we identify as a human with. But I have a great example. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down to earth. He had so much capability. He had so much power. And all that was taken away so he could function down here to identify with us. Can't imagine. I mean, I can't even imagine Christ. I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing him. But what he had the ability to do, and he held all that back, all right? And he was willing to be in the likeness of man. He was willing to limit himself. He didn't cling to his rights. And I think part of the reason he did that he might be with people that I get to see on occasion who have finally gotten to the point, I will never walk again. I will never do this again. And knowing I've lost it, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to have the mind of Christ. And I'm going to submit to it. I'm going to accept it. And I'm going to do it with joy in my heart, knowing that this is God's purpose and will for my life. When I'm with one person who's gone through this and lost all their ability to do so many things, I'll get down there, and this person is not able to talk at all and hardly able to do anything, basically. And I'll get in there, and when I'm there, I pray always that the Lord will allow somebody to come in there to minister to him, all right, while I'm there. And I was just down there this past week here. There were two nurses in there ministering. And I said, well, this is my buddy here. We get together all the time. We talk about going to heaven. We talk about the mansion he's got up there in heaven, and he's going to have a glorified body up in heaven. And he's sitting there. Yeah, he's doing everything he can. And I do that for him. He can't do it. He's not able to do it. But I get down there and I tell him all about Jesus Christ, because I know if he could talk, that's exactly what he would do. Exactly. So he has that submissive mind, all right? But he has a joy. He has a purpose. He has that single mind. I am here to be a witness, all right? And I'm thinking, well, buddy, when I get here, I'm going to help you with being a witness. I'm going to do what I can so that you might tell people about Jesus Christ. Jesus said, he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and made in likeness as a man. Okay, limiting there. And the fact is, no reputation. And I get around a lot of people like that. You know, their life is kind of passed on, and all they have, you know, is just the closing years of their life. And so their reputation is no longer... it's gone. No, people don't remember them. They have no idea what they are able to accomplish in their life and what a witness. And we'll talk about that. He said, well, I'm submitting to the idea, but I know one day I'll be with Jesus Christ, and he will give me that crown of righteousness. All right. And I'll be able to take that crown and throw it at his feet and thank him for all the things that he's allowed me to do. But again, it's a person, they're submitting. They're accepting God's will for their life, even though it's difficult and hard, just exactly like our Lord and Savior did in submitting. Then we have the third chapter here, and we're looking at the spiritual mind. And this is the mind set on the desires of Christ, all right? We know quite often we get wrapped up in the things of this world. As a result, we lose our joy and peace, all right, which we ought to have. I know, excuse me, a lot of us kind of have struggles with that right now. You know, we have all this stuff going on. We have Pride Week going on sometime. I don't know when that is. And it kind of is discouraging for us to see these people that are so misguided, so confused, don't know the truth. They're sheep without a shepherd, and it's pathetic to see what's happening to them. And so we see that going on, and kind of gets us down. Well, we see also in this chapter here, it talks about Paul and that's his struggle with things. And the first thing we see that the Lord helped him work through was in verses 4-5, all right, where it says, and this is Paul speaking, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath thereof, all right, he might trust in the flesh, I the more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. And so what we see there is Paul talking as an unsaved man, as a proud man, a man that has no care, doesn't know spiritual things, he knows religious things. Paul's got all these credentials here, and yes, indeed, I'll tell you what, it gives him a wide open door when he goes into the synagogue or the temple. He's a man. He is the man. He's got all the background that comes along with that. And so that door is open to him. But the unfortunate thing he didn't see at that point was the door to heaven was closed. You're not getting in, Paul. I will not accept your good works. The righteousness of men, as far as God's concerned, is a filthy rag, Paul. And I'm not going to soften it up for you, Paul. I'm going to tell you straight up how I look at this thing here. All right, I'm not going to make it easy for you, Paul. I want you to realize everything you've done that you take credit in and think you, that makes me smile. I'm telling you, it breaks my heart, Paul, as Saul, and all the people you have misled over these years. It breaks my heart even more. So I'm going to tell you the facts. Okay? And so all the things he said there, well, we know all about Paul. We know him as Saul. He went around persecuting churches. He had Christians killed. You name it, he did it. But what an example. A lot of people needed the example of Paul, and still today need the example of Paul. Chief of sinners, I say amen to that. But I've been around a lot of chief of sinners. Matter of fact, most of the time I think I was the chief of sinners. I didn't do quite what Paul did, but, you know, it was pretty bad. But then we see over here looking at 7-9, it says this talks about the spiritual mind. It talks about the change that came in this man's life. He got the spiritual mind, and he says there, but what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all these things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Thank God for that. And do count them but dung. I just count them manure. I had a person one time, it was here from over there in Belgium. He said, well, you Americans, you know, I don't know if that word manure or dung counts, you know, because you guys put that stuff in bags and you spread it all over your garden. You kind of cherish manure, you know. Well, you're probably right. He said, so I don't think that's a good illustration at all. I said, well, what do you think would be a good way of showing how worthless Paul's works were as far as God was concerned, and of course, as far as he's concerned now, that he has that spiritual mind. This is what he said. He said, just call it pus. I thought, well, that's pretty gross. I know there's no value in that stuff. I said, well, brother, you're right. I have no value as far as I'm concerned. But nonetheless, Paul got his heart right with the Lord, and he had to come to repentance. And, you know, we oftentimes think about Paul as being the greatest preacher there ever was on the grace of God. And I believe he was. He's taught me more things about the grace of God in the Bible than any other person there. Maybe David could be a little bit that way with what he got into. But he taught that. And you know what? He had to live the reality of that. Can you imagine being the Apostle Paul? He's got this spiritual mind now. He's focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know he's the one that wrote this epistle here. He's got the single mind. He's focusing on the gospel. He is submitting to God's perfect will for his life, no matter what it costs him, no matter what might happen. And so he's out there now with that spiritual mind. And he said, God, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to preach to these people. But you know what's going on in there. You know the people in this church here are people for whom I have had family members murdered for the cause of Christ. I'm going to go in there and face those people. God, I just... Please, dear God, give me the strength and the ability to do that, to look out there and see their faces, knowing what I have done. And so based on the grace of God, knowing that God has forgiven him, knowing that the things he says here are true about him, that the righteousness, he's been made righteous in Christ. He goes in there and preaches and shares those messages. It's interesting. You think about Paul. He stirred people up everywhere he went. He did. I mean, he preached it. He didn't care what the consequence would be. He was going to share the love. And he did it in love, dear friend. All right? Yeah, fire and brimstone. Yeah, fire and brimstone. Yeah, he preached hell hot. There ain't no doubt about that. All right? And that's what they need to hear. He told them the facts. But the thing is, in all of that, all right, he was in there and telling them about Christ's love. And he said, I am the best example you could ever see in the love of Christ and the acceptance of God and the forgiveness of God. You know me. You know what I've done. And he was well known all through that world for what he had done against the churches there. But nonetheless, he said, I'm going to allow the Lord to use me as an example. All right. And I'm sure his testimony, well, he was able to be a faithful servant of the Lord. We see in verse 10 here, the spiritual mind. And it says, all right, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And, of course, the death we're talking about there is the death of dying to self. All right, Lord, you know, how much more can I do? Well, Paul said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to serve you, Lord. And, of course, this is a verse, and when I think about our missionaries right now, all right, down there serving the Lord, I think what it says here, that I may know him. I think... Well, number one prayer that I have for our folks, it's the number one prayer I have for myself, is that they might know Jesus Christ better. That down there, they're going to experience the power of God working in their lives and in the hearts of those people that will forevermore change the way they look at God and change maybe the way they think about themselves, that they may know him and the power of his resurrection, the powerful resurrection of Christ, okay? When I think about that, and I've had several situations. I had a ministry when I was going to college there, all right, over in the Chicago area. I had a ministry in South Chicago where a buddy of mine, Gary Pope, we had a ministry in South Chicago among the gangs down in South Chicago. There were the Latin gangs, and there were also the black gangs down there. And what we would do, I would preach at Cook County Jail on Sundays, and then on Saturdays, the following Saturday, we would go down to South Chicago and try to find the families of folks, okay, that were where the loved one was saved. And we'd tell the loved one at the jail that we would do that. So we would do that all the time. Well, we got down there, and we would carry on that ministry. And in doing that, we had many encounters that were interesting. I took my boys with me down there too, and every time we would go down there, every time we went down there, we prayed, now God, are you sure this is what you want us to do? We don't want to go down there if you're not going to be going down there with us, okay? We know what's going on down there, all right? And we're aware of all that, and so Father, we're going there, but only if we can experience your resurrection power to help us to do what we got to do. I had a situation where I was down there in the south part of Chicago, and I was in a neighborhood. I didn't really understand the neighborhood and who ran the neighborhood, and so I called out this fellow's name. I said, do you know so-and-so? There was about four guys on the other side of the street there, and they turned around, looked at me, and they said, hey, you all right? Okay. Hey, they said to me, hey, Whitey, do you know what you're doing? I said, no, I don't know what I'm doing, okay. But I'm looking for this guy. I said, I said, we led this guy's family. I mean, we led this individual to the Lord, okay? And now we're down here to see the family and visit with him. Well, he turned around and looked at me. Now, I was there with my two sons, and they said, well, we're going to teach you, bud, why you don't call that name out in our neighborhood. They were serious, okay? And so I said, okay. I said, well, let me tell you what I'm doing down here. Let me tell you. I'm down here telling people about Jesus Christ. I'm sharing the gospel with them and what I'm doing here. Well, when I started doing that, I remember the verse, at the name of Christ, every knee shall bow. And so I'm thinking, God, boy, I sure could use that to happen right in this very moment. When I did that, okay, the men stopped walking towards me. There's four of them there, all right? And so stupid me, okay, I saw them stop, so I decided, well, I'm going to go over and talk to them. Dumb. I mean, it was dumb. My boys would tell you it was dumb, all right? But anyhow, I did that. But in doing that, I used Jesus' name. I mean, it was every other word was Jesus this and Jesus that. Well, the thing was, they stopped in their tracks, and then they turned around and went into a burnout building on the other side of the street there. And once again, I saw, all right, in a vivid way, the power of Christ working in a way that I had never seen it work before. This what Paul says here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, all right, that we might have an opportunity and being conformable unto his death, that died itself. I'm praying, and we need to all be praying, that our missionaries that are down there in Grenada, that they will go there and sense the presence of God in a way that will forevermore change their lives. Evermore. That they will see how powerful their God is. Even though this world seems to be a complete wreck on the road, God is greater than all this. And we need to call upon him. He can do great and mighty things. I don't know what in the world God has in mind. But I haven't stopped praying for our nation. I haven't stopped praying for these people. I know God has a plan. But what I have done, though, I am more fervent in my prayer. I am coming to God because I know God can do anything. I know that. And so God said, well, then, Rick, pray that you know that. Act like you know that. When you come to me, dear Rick, he said, come to me and beg me and plead with me. I'll do these things for you. Ask, you know, and what he always reminds me of, surrender yourself to me. Allow me to use you. Don't back down in these situations. But when you get involved with these situations, with these kinds of people, go there. John 3:16, brother, it'll work every time, God says. It'll work. It'll change lives. But when you go there, that's exactly how I want you to go. I want you to go sharing the love of Christ in a very real way. And of course, I don't know any better way of doing that than walking in there and going in and telling them about Jesus and how much he loves them. Last thing we see here in chapter 4, we have the secure mind. And again, I figured I was going to get a little behind the schedule here. But the secure mind, I wrote down here, many Christians, how many Christians there are that lose their happiness and peace because of worry. All right, Paul tells us that the secure mind, the mind that is guarded by the peace of God, frees us from worry. We see over there, looking at chapter 4, verses 5 and 7, it says this, let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. All right, he's coming soon, we all know that, but he's also at hand right now. I am here with you right this very moment, Rick. You never go anywhere without me being there. I am always there. I will always protect you. I'll always be there to hear your pleas. And no matter what's taking place. And you know, a while ago I had a heart attack. God was there. God was there. I mean, he was doing things I couldn't even, Carol couldn't comprehend. But God was making it clear to both of us. I'm not ready for you yet, Rick. Your job down here is not done yet. So I'm here. I'm guiding. I'm directing. All right, and know that, like it says there, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. All right, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer. All right, and that's talking about a steady praying about everything that goes on in your life, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God said, I want to hear about it. I want to know about it. I want you to tell me about what's going on. I want you to unload your heart on me, Rick. I want you to share your burdens with me. I want you to come to me about the people you're concerned about. I tell you, I have had, honest to goodness, folks, I've had days of prayer with the Lord where I'm telling you, my heart was broken in two. And a lot of it has to do with our nation. I just can't believe what's going on. And so I go to my God and I go to him. And I unload it. I'll tell you what, I unload it. And God, you know what? He hears my prayer. And he gives me, I go out every day, I go out somewhere in Baltimore or whatever. And he gives me opportunities to understand better what is going on in our world. What are these people going through? What is this all about? I want you to minister to them, Rick. And so I do that. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you have that peace? Are you sitting there with a secure mind? Are you sitting there knowing God is in control of the drama of my life? I know that. I can trust him with that. I can trust him as I've committed this country to the Lord. It's so out of control. All right, but God said, I have all power. I can move mountains. It's not out of control. Matter of fact, Rick, I'm telling you something. It is part of my design and plan. Your nation, Rick, has turned its back on me many years ago. Now, Rick, you're going through the minor prophets right now, and you're preaching the truth. These guys went into to Israel and told them what was coming. And, Rick, I want you to be the same way. But first of all, I want you to be thinking that way. I don't want you to be pulled down by this. I want you to have peace in your heart. So first of all, you need to recognize what I am doing here. I'm judging this nation, yes. But remember also, my hope and plan is for this nation to turn to God in repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth. Accept the truth. That's right. The truth is a man and a woman or a man and woman. Right. Doesn't change a thing. All right, so Rick, I want you to go out there and I want you to go out and be bold in telling the truth from the Word of God. I want you to do it in a loving, Christ-like way, but I want you to do it anyhow. I want you to tell them what God says. Now, they might not want to hear that, and they probably won't. But God said, I want you to tell them. I want you, Rick, to be my spokesperson. Amen. All right, and that is just simply telling the truth, whether they think it's truth or not. It is the truth. And I am only I am only telling you this is that because God so loved you, he sent his son to die for you. And I'm coming to you with a message of God's love and concern. I said, and I tell him this, you know what you're doing is wrong. You know that. And God wants to help you. He wants to help you escape this mess you're in right now. But the only way he can do that, if you're willing to humble yourself, repent of your sin, and receive his son, Jesus Christ, as Savior. So, I'm asking you today, how's your mind? All right, what are you thinking about all the time? Is your mind, as it closes out here, do you have a single mind? All right, you're getting victory over your circumstances. They don't control you. Do you have the submissive mind? Are you getting victory over people and how they're trying to take away your peace and whatever else? And how about that spiritual mind? Have you been spending time in the Word of God? I see you're in church this morning, so that's a good start, right? I'd like to see you back here tonight for sure. But having that spiritual mind, the mind of Christ, to think the way he does, to pray the way he would pray. And so if you have all that going on, do you, Christian, have a secure mind right now? Is there joy in your heart? Knowing that God's in control. How can I have? Well, that's the bottom line here. He's talking about joy, to have that joy. He said, I want you to be a joyful person in this crazy world because you have a message that can change everything. But I need you to be have that joyful spirit. If you're having a time where you're not joyful, God says, come to me and I'll help you work that out. All right, and don't go out there until you get it figured out here. But I want you to go out there and I want you to be a loving, caring Christian, having compassion on people. Well, we all want that mind, don't we? I know I do. I've known about this for almost 40 years now. I've read these verses over and over again for 40 long years. And yet there are days where I feel a little insecure. There are days where I'm not so happy. I'm crying a lot because of what's going on. But God said, you know what? There's a lot of things you can think about here as far as this is concerned. But I want you to have single mind. You have a purpose, Rick. Every day you have a purpose. And that's to go out and tell people about Jesus. All right? And in order to do that, you need to be having a submitted mind. All right? Submitting to me, my will. Speaking to a person when you don't feel like it. Speaking to somebody that you really don't like what they've said to you or what they're doing. But nonetheless, you're going to submit to me and you're going to do that. Okay? And then that spiritual mind, and that's continue to feed yourself in the Word of God. But also, as a result of all that, we can have that secure mind. Now, if you're here today and you're sitting here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, if you don't know whether you're going to go to heaven or not, dear friend, you don't have a secure mind. God wants you to have that mind. If you're here today and you've never accepted the gift of salvation, you know on that cross, Jesus went to that cross and he suffered and died. We know all about that. And when he went to that cross, all your sins and all my sins were laid on him. And when that happened, God said, okay, now I have the perfect target for my righteous wrath. And that's going to be my son. I'm going to beat my son to a pulp. I'm going to pour out all my anger on my son. It's been stored up for a while now, but now the time has come, and I will punish my son, and I will severely punish my son. But through his stripes we'll be healed. The Bible tells us that. And what you have to decide is, will you let Jesus pay for your sins? Will you allow him to do that for you? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It's available. It's free. It's not really, I mean, it's free to us, but God said, my son paid for this gift, and it is precious to me. But I'm willing to share this gift with anybody. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how sinful your life might have been. In your mind, God said, no matter what, this gift is what I want to give you. And I'm giving you this gift because I love you and I care for you. And I can change your life. I can turn everything around. All these things. I can help you with these memories and these thoughts you have. I can take care of all that. But you first and foremost have to come to me in repentance and receive my son, Jesus Christ, as Savior. So if you're here today and you want to do that, I'm praying that when we have our invitation time, you'll come forward here and allow one of our people to share the gospel with you. You could be here today and you're saying, well, Pastor Rick, my mind's not so secure. But I see now what I need to do in order to get to the point where I can even have joy in the midst of all my problems. Just like that person you talked about, Rick, who is paralyzed. All right? He has finally accepted God's will for his life. It took a while. Well, I'm nowhere near that in that situation. But dear God, Rick, I wanna get it straight. We're going to go ahead and stand and close out the service here. Pastor Brian's going to come and lead us in a song. So if you're here today and you want to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the best time to do it. And maybe you're saying, Lord, my heart's been empty for years. I have not been able to have joy in my heart, but Lord, today I realize I don't want to be that way, and I don't have to be that way.